AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. So many reasons why I bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great odds and markets for the MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. They've got awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook, and it's easy to use, safe and secure, and you get your winnings fast. It's also fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay, and you can discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ so they know we sent you. That's J-A-N-D-J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, May 16th, and we've got two very interesting Game 7s to talk about. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friend, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
You've been having some stank on there the last few times. You've been having some stank on that thing.
I'm Guardy B, aka Mike, and we have to start by talking about this Suns Mavs game. First of all, you know, we're a serious podcast. We're very serious podcast, and when we mess something up, we always come clean and retract it. So we're sorry to our listeners who are Phoenix Suns fans who've been saying that we have not been taking the Suns seriously enough as a championship contender. They showed us no one is more serious than the Phoenix Suns.
Is that the worst game seven in NBA history?
I'm sure the numbers probably will say it was. I know that they were up by 41, which is the biggest lead ever in a game seven. I remember seeing that stat floating around.
They were down by the biggest margin in Game 7 history. They ended up hitting a couple bullshit threes at the end of the game to make it look a little more. I think they ended up losing by 29 or something. The record.
Good for them. Came back from 40.
Good for them. Way to never give up, guys.
Never give up. Never give up, guys. Never Character. Stop trying.
Bro.
Fortitude.
This ass one was so thorough that I couldn't even really clown it. Like, you remember on the Wile E. Coyote cartoons when not the ones when he was chasing the Roadrunner, but when he was trying to get the sheep and shit, and he go in and he would like clock in the morning with the sheepdog and shit and like clock out at night. And like there'll be times where the Wile E. Coyote will walk past the dog like being so fucked up after one of his shenanigans go wrong that the dog ain't ever do shit. You know what I mean? Like you see Wile E. walking by him like in an accordion and just be like, ah. So I smashed the fuck out of Wile E. I don't need to be on the job. Like, that's how I felt watching this game. Like, they was walking like an accordion out that motherfucker. And I don't think there was anything I could have done to, like, contribute to the discourse by commenting going.
That Acme Anvil was on their head and it was on their ass, bro. Shit. Damn, they got bigged up. That shit crazy, bro. Like, seeing Chris Paul at the end, the video they showed him looking. Bro, I bet, like, he saw all the future and all the past the same time. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of them stairs. Sheesh.
It was one of those, I wasn't ever shitting. I might not ever be shit right, moments. Right. Like, it was like, this like ain't for me, dog. Yeah.
And then he just said he addicted to the finals.
Yeah.
They said 1 year sober. They said 1 year sober. Dog, they on that man ass.
They got beat so badly that the broadcast team in the middle of the third quarter was just flat out playing Mad Libs, choose your own adventure, pure speculative fantasy fiction, trying to come up with an injury. They were like, well, we don't want to speak for Chris, but if he was injured, this is how his play would have been affected. Like, if it was something with his hand or maybe his leg.
They were playing operation like, with that man on the broadcast. Bread in the basket, butterflies in the stomach. Like, God damn.
Get his motherfucker, dog.
The funniest tweet I saw all night, and it kind of goes back to how it was such a thorough ass woman that you really can't say shit about it. Someone tweeted, man, I was praying for Chris Paul's downfall, but I ain't expect God to fuck him up like this.
Bro,
but I didn't expect God to fuck him up this bad. Like, God damn.
Shit.
That shit killed me.
God was listening too much. That man, that shit crazy, dog. They on his ass. So they said something like, Chris Paul, first player to get 3-0-2, you know, like leading 0-2 and losing. And he just extended his lead. This is like real like basketball account saying shit like this, dog.
And he also, I think, now has the longest streak of Game 7 losses in the NBA as well. I actually, we're going to continue to make fun of the Suns because this is the funniest shit ever, but I'm actually curious for your guys' opinion. Like, how do you, if he retired today, which he's not going to do because there's $30 million waiting
for him. But they really asked him. That's how wild.
That's how bad he was.
After it. Right. Are you going to play basketball?
Are you gonna, this thing you just did tonight, you're going to do that again?
You want to do that more? I know $28 million is in front of you, but do you really want to do this to yourself?
You're going to walk like an accordion all right, next season,
right,
too?
Right. Yeah. Right. You want to embarrass yourself anymore? Like, it's wild. I mean, just that comfortable asking that question, G.
But sincerely, how do you, how will we reckon with, I mean, I think we've said on the pod earlier in the playoffs, third best point guard, best of his generation, et cetera, et cetera. But the playoff stuff is an absolute part of that conversation, right? Like, how do you put all that together at the end of the career for Chris Paul?
You know, like I said last year, it wouldn't have moved the meter for me on Chris Paul if he won a championship either. I've got him as my fourth best point guard ever. It's Magic, Steph, Zeke, then Chris Paul to me. And I don't see Chris Paul leaping Isaiah. And a big reason why is because of Isaiah's fucking mythical performances in the postseason. Like, this motherfucker had 25 in one quarter in the finals on one ankle on one the road. Leg. Like, that Jeez. Sounds like a lie, bro. That sounds like a lie your grandpa would tell you.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. You'd be surprised. You would look that up. Yeah. This motherfucker lied, and it's true.
Yeah. Right. It's you know, like I said, it's just the way that fucking Isaiah threw his squads on his back during those postseason. Like, we were one fucking 3-point loss in game seven from that Pistons team running a three-peat. Right. And running a three-peat going through fucking Magic and Bird and Jordan. Right. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, even if Chris Paul had won the finals last year, he still wasn't going to leapfrog Isaiah for me. So I think his place with me is pretty much cemented regardless.
Same thing. I don't think the reckoning is for us. I think it's for him to reckon with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we think he is who he is. You know, he has to realize who he is. A person that's extremely good at his position who just won't win a chip and maybe wasn't good enough to. You know what I mean? Like, some people are like, you know, somebody said, you know, Chris Paul really deserves this. And Pat Bev was like,
Jeremy Lin said it. Jeremy Lin said it. Yeah.
I mean, and I get the sentiment. I get it. Like, he deserves to win a chip. You know what I mean? Like, but Pat Bev's like, nobody deserves to win a chip. Like, what makes you think he deserves to? You have to be good enough to. And maybe Chris Paul just didn't have it. You know, it comes down to the team, you know, for sure. But them losing, some of the losses they've taken, you know, with the Clippers, with Houston, he was hurt there. You know what I mean? But this Suns loss right now, bro, that just ain't not having a dog. They had a dog to beat this Mavericks team. They should have beat this team 4 or 5 games. You know what I mean? And they let Luka bully their ass, you know what I'm saying, the second half of this series.
Oh, we'll get to that. He did go limping very slowly out of the locker room after the game. So I'm sure we'll know that there was an injury he played through valiantly by the morning.
Him being 37, that's the injury.
That's what I mean. That was my, I was like, he's my age, you don't have to invent an injury for me. Like,
you know what happened to him? He turned 37, you know what I mean?
He woke up and stretched too hard and pulled his neck, like I did a couple, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's 37. But someone tweeted and tagged us in it, maybe he's not better than Bob Cousy.
Oh, Lord Jesus Christ Almighty.
All right.
Are we pro Bob Cousy at this point? I'm not going there,
Jim. I'm not. You can't do it. You've always have to find the line on the, and then take that, one that's step
where
back
we, that's where we, hey, that's where we stop. That's exactly where we fucking stop.
We have to spread that slander around a little bit, though, because I do think Chris Paul is being, I mean, look, he had 0 points at halftime, but the starters combined for 37 points in game seven at home. And Devin Booker, I think, had 4 points at halftime. You know, this is a dude that I think a lot of us felt like was not that guy who is just going to completely no-show a game seven at home. So what do you think about, like, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Ayton, who ended up not playing most of this game, Monty, what, like, this is everyone's got shit on him to some extent. when a shit bomb that big blows up, everyone needs to do their laundry, right?
I think that's the thing. It's too big of a shit bomb. We don't know what the problem is. Everybody fucked up. You can't pinpoint the problem when it looks like when everything's covered in shit. You know what I'm saying?
The problem is, you know, like you said earlier, Mike, this is a team that should not have let this series go seven. Like, that's the you know, it's bigger than this game seven loss. Like, they should have got rid of these boys in 5 or 6. But I don't know, man. It's that front office is in a weird spot with DeAndre Ayton. Like, we've seen there were some tense comments from Monty Williams saying it was an internal decision why he had to bench him and all that. I have no idea why they are just fucking, you know, playing this dumbass game with a restricted rookie max deal. But I don't know. We'll see what happens this season. Of course, you know, Chris Paul is not leaving that money on the table. He'll be back. We'll see if he'll be back with the Suns. So we'll see.
As he should be. You know what I mean? But I think if there was a window, that motherfucker closed, bro. Yes, last year was rough. We thought they were good enough to beat the Bucks. I mean, a lot of us thought, you know what I'm saying, that the Bucks just couldn't finish the deal. You know what I'm saying? Other than me. But, no, I think when the series came up, I thought the Suns were better. I caught the Bucks earlier, but when the series came up, I was like, the Suns look really good. But I think this loss, bro, I think this might balance it out to where they were so good before. They're going to be just as bad now. Like, it's just, I don't know how you come back from this mentally.
Did, Tyler, did you watch the whole game? I tuned in for the second half. Were you watching the first half too?
I tuned out late second half. So yeah,
okay, I was okay, there. Okay. I have never heard a crowd do what that Phoenix crowd was doing through the third quarter of that game. They were not booing at specific plays. They were just booing. Like Dallas is walking the ball up the court. They're booing. They're going to timeout. It just was like when you're, someone made the analogy, it's like when you're blowing up an inflatable pool. It was just boo.
Gonna pass out there.
I think that has more to do with the fact that there's so much meth out there. I think everybody was just high. That wasn't just the game. There were probably a lot of drugs circulating in that crowd too. So yeah, man. But Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I enjoy when crowds like give up very quickly on their teams. Like, you know, I love that. And they gave up like halfway through the first. They were like, fuck this 64 win season. Fuck this game seven. What the fuck is happening right now?
Fuck this second golden age in our franchise's history.
It was, I love when fan bases like switch up, and the quicker the better. I love it. So yeah.
Only 60 win team in the league this year. Got down 50, 40, was it 50 at one point? I thought he got to 50 at one point, but.
I think it was like 46, 47 or something. Oh. I don't think it ever got quite to 50. I know at one point.
They have their boundaries.
Well, they're not. Let's not be obscene.
46, but not 50, okay? Not 50.
Credit to y'all, though. You know, I did feel like. The Suns would lose to the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and you guys said that it wasn't going to happen.
Shut up, Mike.
You guys were adamant that it wasn't going to happen, and you were correct.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what the fuck type of Phoenix team we got this series, but the Phoenix team I saw in round one would have beat the fuck out of the Warriors. But
yeah.
But I do think
the Phoenix team you saw in game four, well, you know what I'm saying? Right. Game two would have beat
I think
the
that
fuck
one, didn't
this.
Didn't they win the first two games by an average of like 19 points in this series or something?
Cooking these boys, yeah.
But it was, I did have a theory of the case about Chris Paul that I do stand by, which is just like Bron spoiled us and he's been the dominant narrative in the NBA for so long that you just forget, like, Chris Paul might be the second best 37-year-old that we've ever seen, but it's just different. It's different on every other human body to turn each successive age than it has been for Bron, right? He's like the leading point scorer at every age and is going to continue to be as he gets older. And I just think, like, Chris Paul had those games 14-14, two straight games, no turnovers. And it's like, he's just burning turbo that's not in the tank, you know? And it's not a knock against him. I don't think it's like, oh, if he'd managed himself better, he would have had legs left. He's just old. I mean, like, it's what happens, you know? It's what happens to everyone else except for Bron, who even with Bron, you can see the difference, obviously. So it's a young guy's. Go ahead.
That motherfucker turned 37 and fell off the fucking cliff. Like, goddamn. You can legitimately look at a before 37 and a post 37 in this postseason with Chris Paul. It's two different dudes, bro. It's wild.
That motherfucker looked like Iguodala after he turned 37, nigga. Rajon Rondo around this motherfucker. Jesus Christ. Well, no, Booker. Also, Booker ain't smiled since he mocked Luka. He ain't been happy since. There might be a curse there, but let's look into that. You know,
let's
saying?
Talk about Luka. Luka had, I mean, he was my favorite kind of asshole tonight. He was a dickhead tonight.
Petty little dirty little
laughing up 40, making threes, looking around to make sure everyone all 360 degrees could see him laughing.
Right. Do you see my joy? You know what I'm saying? Crazy.
He went through some shit, man. Fucking, you know, Chris Paul and Book were clowning him in the post game. Fucking Lil Wayne out here tweeting Luka's a hoe. Like and the wild shit about that. Yeah. It's wild shit about that is, you know, Luka probably had to get like a translation for that because that's probably the first time he's ever been called a hoe. He was like, and they probably had to tell him, it's like when you call people bitch ass, it's like that. He called you a bitch ass. You know, so that was probably like a learning lesson for Luka in like the worst
what
way.
What accent was that?
Yeah.
Please tell me.
That was my Eastern European. It's all encompassing.
I needed to know.
So yeah, that's just wild. Like Luka, like you said, he's just someone who enjoys being a villain. He leads into the shit talking. You know what I'm saying? Like he'll bark with you back and forth on the fucking court, like right in the heat of the action. I love that about him.
He's also averaging 39-9-9 in game sevens.
Ooh, God damn. I hate all the comparisons, but I'll give it a good goddamn. You know what I'm saying? Like you ain't got to, you know, you ain't got to put him up there with Bron. But goddamn, you know what I mean? He can have that. That is sheesh.
I don't even think it's outrageous to put him up there with Bron. I mean, to put him past Bron is outrageous. But to say that we haven't seen anyone this good, this young since Bron, I don't think that's hyperbole.
Since Bron, but it's not the sense to me. I think they're trying to. With Luka, the reason I haven't been pro Luka like early because it was that great white like the narrative. Type, you yeah, know, that yeah. narrative. You know what I'm saying? Like he's the white savior. The motherfucker might be, but here's the problem. Like it.
Luka is the Venn diagram of where the great white hope and he's got that dog
and reality
overlap.
He's got that dog.
He is the great white hope. Who's got that dog
nice,
in him?
You know what I'm saying? The immediate, you know what
at
I'm saying?
At the nexus of that boy, right, super fucking me? Nice.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not. I hate it when the Mad Dog Russos go on TV and talk about like AAU culture. It's obvious. It's an obvious dog whistle for saying black people in America are a certain type of way. I do think we've talked about this with Giannis as well. There's something to the difference in youth sports culture in other areas, and I'm not. This is not specific to basketball or AAU or whatever, but like European. In Europe, the top athletes are sort of professionalized at the age that our kids go to like middle school and high school. And this is a dude who's playing in Euro leagues where there's armed security guards with AK-47s trying to keep the peace at the age that my kid's going to be going to like 10th and 11th grade. And there is something to that. I think that when we see these dudes in game sevens, who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Like what's Joker? What's Giannis? What's Luka worried about? You know, that the crowd in Phoenix is going to boo? Like, who gives a... Like, are there any fireworks being set off in the arena?
Didn't he say the NBA was easier? Didn't he say it's easier to get buckets in the NBA? Like, for him, like, coming here, you know, I don't think it's just the crowd. You know what I'm saying? Or just,
well, Giannis talked about that, better, too. You know Giannis talked about that, too. In Europe, basketball, like, they want blood sport. They want to see dudes get clobbered going into the paint. Like, the sport is encouraged in a different way. That's part of why you've had these young talents coming out of Europe and other parts of the country or other parts of the world, but it hasn't translated at the FIBA level yet because they're not playing that game, right? They're playing like that's why it took Giannis a little bit longer to sprout because they were beating the shit out of him when he was a 16-year-old kid.
That makes the Euro step make a lot of sense. Like, you have to get creative with your step going to the fucking rim because you might get your ass beat. You know what I mean? So that's where that creativity came from. But that makes sense now.
Anyway, he's got that. He's the great white hope. He's got the dog in him.
But he
got that dog in him.
Yeah, I mean, y'all that. Okay, you can't take shit from the man.
How much credit does Jason Kidd deserve? Particularly defensively for what the Mavs have done, for what the Mavs did in this series.
Shit, he deserves all the credit. I think I, along with a lot of other people, you know, he still had that fucking stench from that Buck stint on him when they hired him. I was like, bro, he almost derailed the career of perhaps the greatest player in the league. Today you're entrusting him with Luka, who could perhaps be the best player in the league one day too. I was like, why are y'all doing this? But Kid showed the fuck up this season, man. I mean, he coached his ass off. He seems to know the right buttons to push, the right things to say to his players. Like, he's not a dude who is out there throwing players under the bus. He's someone who knows how to diplomatically call for his players to be accountable without being a dickhead like that. He just seems like he checks off, you know, the X and O shit, and he knows how to handle the people aspect of it too. So, you know, nothing but fucking 5 stars, 10 out of 10, A+ for his first year for me.
I mean, he probably learned a lot, you know what I'm saying, being as an assistant, you know what I'm saying, from his previous experiences in the show. I mean, you pointed out when he was like, you know, showing a lot of class, talking about his players, trying to get, you know what I'm saying, get them riled up, you know what I mean, rather than throwing somebody under the bus, you know. So, yeah, I got a lot of respect for the man, you know, based on the season. He's learned a lot, you know, and, I mean, nobody saw them. I didn't know if they come out the first series, let alone right. This one, you know what I'm saying? So,
respect. Well, and that Luka injury early maybe ends up being a huge blessing for them because of the way it kind of activated the rest of that roster, you know. And you also
got a little rest too, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, for sure.
Like Jalen Brunson got comfortable getting his, you know what right. I mean? Like the guy, Tim Hardaway's out, you know what I'm saying? So Jalen Brunson had to lead that team. And he did well. Now Luka's back, you know, but he's confident, you know what I'm saying? Rather than trying to figure it out.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win.
FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. My favorite same game parlay, we've obviously got that Mavs Warriors Western Conference Finals game one coming up on Wednesday. I think the Warriors look good in that, and I think Steph's going to come out looking to make a big statement at home in game one, so I would have him on all of his player props. New to FanDuel? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code JANJ. Once again, that's promo code JANJ. That's J-A-N-D-J. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. No sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. Okay, I want thoughts and a prediction on... I'm very excited for this Western Conference Finals. Warriors, Mavericks. Tyler, why don't you go first? Who do you think is winning, and how do you think it's going to play out?
I got to go with the fucking, you know,
he's sick.
Three-time champion vets, you know, finally not getting outplayed by the fourth year guy. So, I guess I'm going with the Warriors, safe pick, have him in six. But the way Luka fucking one hand showed last series, like, shit, man, who knows? Who knows? Because this Warriors team is very beatable. This is not the fucking Warriors teams of 2017, 2018, or whatever. There's holes there. You know what I mean? So they are someone, they are a team that can get knocked off, but I don't know. I just don't see the Mavs doing it as great as Luka is.
And the Suns' defense was better, and he just cooked them. Just cooked them. You know what I'm saying? They have better guard defense. You know, I don't play better. I mean, I guess better team defense too. Better, big, like bigger, you know, more size in the post. You feel me? And he just cooked them. So, I mean, I think it's, like you said, it makes most sense that the veterans will pull this off. They've been here before. They're more comfortable. I think they won't stink it up the way the Suns did, for sure. You know, they're going to have to, you know, they're not going to get any 50-point, you know, 46-point, you know, leads at any point during the series.
Well, they might. I mean, you know, the Warriors lost by 50-whatever to the, the Grizzlies.
Jesus Christ, that's a fact. That's a fact. But I don't see it happening again, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah. I think they win, but I mean, with Luka, I just 39 a fucking game.
He's a wild card.
Right. Hey, you know, bro, you can't ignore that. You feel me?
I tend to lean to, as I have with the Warriors, just in a year where it's as wide open as it is. And this is the first time that one of the top two seeds did not make the Western Conference Finals in 11 years. In a year that's that wide open, I just will always lean on experience. And it's not like experienced role players with the Warriors. Like you've got Steph, you've got Klay, you've got Draymond, and then with Jordan Poole giving you the, you know, that young buck energy, Wiggins obviously having a great year. It's hard for me to pick against that team, but you guys said it, like Luka could just be the bracket buster for the entire fucking league this year. I mean, sometimes dudes just have those years, and it looks like it looked tonight when they do, right? I don't know. All right.
We're missing a lunar eclipse.
What's that? Huh?
We're missing a lunar eclipse.
We're not missing a lunar eclipse. It's not going to peak till 9:15.
I thought they're showing it right now. The people are showing it online.
Oh, it's
wow,
begun.
The lunar eclipse is so beautiful.
It's begun. It's begun. Okay, it's not going to peak till 9:15.
Okay.
We can go outside and look at it for a couple minutes if you want, but I was going to have us out of here by like 9:10.
Okay, that's perfect. Yeah. You knew. I should have trusted you. My bad, Mike. What the fuck am I doing? Keep this on here. Show me being extremely wrong. Show me.
Really came at my lunar eclipse credentials.
Right, Jesus Christ.
Thought we were friends. Thought we were real bros.
I'm not just Gangland Guardian. I contain multitudes.
I'm Galileo Guardian.
I'm Galileo Guardian, motherfucker.
All right, let's talk about Celtics-Bucks Game 7. Boy, did that not go the way I wanted it to. John, the floor is yours.
No, I don't. I'm not here to glow. I really like Giannis. You know, it pains me to root against Run and Dunk, man. You know what I'm saying? I feel really bad for the shark community. You know what I'm saying? I apologize for your loss. You know what I mean? I just love St. Louis. I love Jason Tatum. I think he officially became my favorite player in the league. I think he's actually been that. I just don't think I knew it. You know what I mean? Because today during the game seven, I'm yelling at Giannis. I'm like, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, no, like, it was this internal battle where I'm like, you know, it's rooting, you know, so but I don't. It's beautiful. I thought this. I mean, I told y'all this prior, you know, when it comes just basketball specifically, we're talking about like, I thought that the Bucks only won one game, like that didn't involve the Celtics being undisciplined. You know, two of the three games they lost, the Celtics tricked that shit off. And so I'm thinking, like, if the Celtics just remain disciplined, they're a better team than this Bucks team without Middleton. And I mean, it proved tonight. It proved true tonight, man. Like, they look great, and they took what came to them. You know what I'm saying? And fucking what, Grant Williams? I was like, who do we compare him to? Like, I think there's a bag, not a big bag, but a nice size bag. He'll play in the league for a while. You know what I'm saying? I don't know who to compare him to. He's just such a weird basketball player.
He's for sure a one-on-one. I think he hit, what, 8 threes today or some shit?
Like, 8, but he shot like 19
He had a shot like 16.
But I mean, the thing is, though, he was so butt-naked. You know what I'm saying? Brooke Lopez was leaving him wide open. And so it's like Brooke Lopez could cheat towards the basket by leaving him open if he doesn't shoot those threes. So he has to shoot them to open up the lane, you know what I'm saying, so people can start getting to the rim. And once he started hitting threes, it was over. Everything opened up then. They can do whatever the fuck they want. You know what I'm saying? So... I mean,
I don't care if it's an NBA or if it's an elementary school basketball game. Once the fat kid starts making threes, the game is over, bro.
Oh, man.
is it true?
That's, I don't want to tell.
That's from what I've seen, yes. And that's always the crowd favorite, too. Like, a fat kid lighting it up at an AAU tournament, the whole fucking arena
hell
was crazy
yeah.
for that kid.
Yep. Second, that's second yeah. only to, like, league-level dunker.
Yeah.
I've been the fat kid making threes with sports goggles on, so I feel comfortable saying that. Like, you know, it's like, oh, if he's hot, it's fucking over.
But I think they say he shot 40% from the field this year, so he can shoot normally. But
he was not supposed to shoot the defending champions out of Game 7, though.
He wasn't. I mean, Jason Tatum did his thing too. Jason Tatum looked like the Jason Tatum we saw the last two games we saw in the first series, where he looked like the guy that knew the offense better than anybody else. Because he was the guy that made the pass, if not to get the assist, but to get to make the pass to get the assist. You know what I mean? The hockey assist. So yeah, man.
You know what I loved about this series, because we talked about this in game one, was you just knew it was a real fight. And you knew it was just gonna come down to like who could survive it. And Giannis at the end of that series found, I think for the first time since he started growing, he found his limit. You know, you saw it when he checked out of the game and he just collapsed on the bench.
Missing layups.
I think they said he's the first player in NBA history with, I think it was like 200 points, 200 rebounds, 100 assists. He hit some mark that no one had ever hit in a single playoff series.
He averaged 40. I think like, what did he shoot from the field? You know what I'm saying? Like the dude was like doing everything everywhere and you just can't. They said he scored or assisted on like every point except for two in the first half?
Yeah.
Or first quarter? You can't, that's not sustainable, even for a fucking street shark, okay?
But the street shark found out that street sharks, even street sharks, need to rest.
Street sharks need teammates. You know, Drew showed up, you know what I mean? But we didn't get much more than that. Middleton would have helped a lot. You know what I mean?
Well, so. I think it was like Connaughton, George Hill, Grayson Allen, and...
The refs helped. Well, the
someone,
refs helped both
and,
sides.
And,
the refs were horrible.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that. And someone, they combined for like 8 points or something. There wasn't any help. And I think, unfortunately for Giannis, and you already saw this online a little bit tonight, but like the Middleton injury is brutal because he's not quite famous enough for people to, for like the general public to give that as an excuse. You know what I mean?
and in the grand scheme, like nobody's going to remember Middleton. Like you're not going to be talking about this loss. Like,
but it is true that it's a very different, obviously a very different series if they have their second best player. You know what I mean?
Middleton looked that good in the first series though.
Yeah.
Like when he was actually playing, he had some really bad moments. So like,
Giannis did get his revenge though on Marcus Smart's dick.
What did you call it?
And I just
don't dick the drum. What did
I said? Because was this not the third or fourth time Giannis kicked or kneed Marcus Smart in the dick?
That was crazy. Let me look that.
So
shit
I
up.
Said I said that his dick
do
was
dodecahedron. Dodecahedron.
So he had his dick looking like one of the bottom of the ocean sea creatures that doesn't make sense in the world.
How did you describe it? You said something.
I said his dick had 19 sides.
Right. Dick has 19 sides and four directions on it. Dodecahedron. Nigga. I was in the backyard crying. Okay? Dodecahedron. Bro, that is the perfect funny mixed with nerd I've ever heard, ever, dog. That was beautiful.
I don't really want to talk about the dodecahedron, but I did think it was funny. It's like, if you were going to pick people in the world, you would not want to get your genitals kicked by three times over a 2-week span. Giannis would be pretty close to the top of the fucking list.
He was
the four with the defeat, man. Fuck that.
Bro, I was asking like, what's left? You know what I'm saying? Bag Twitter done. You know what I mean? Running Dunk Man gone. They were like, that boy Nice might still be there.
That boy Nice is eternal.
Is that?
He's for sure ended that boy Nice.
Okay, so that's all we got left.
Let's talk about the officiating, because I do actually, I think this is something that the league needs to figure out. There was a catch in an NFL playoff game. I think it was a playoff game. The Dez Kotick catch. Was that in the playoffs, Tyler? Yeah. You know, that exposed basically that the NFL, around one of its signature things that happens in its game, had just completely left it up to official discretion, really, as to what a catch was and was not. And that play exposed, you know what? The game is evolving. It's faster. These dudes are freaks. We need to actually get some more verbal legislation around what this means so that it can be officiated. To me, this game was that for the block charge call. It was brutal for the whole fucking series. You have two teams that both play super tough and physical and aggressive, and who are also both very well-coached, disciplined defensive teams who are great at selling contact. And the refs, I felt like the refs the whole series were just guessing. It just really never felt like almost any game got into any kind of a flow with the officials. And that second, third quarter today was just... It was honestly difficult to watch, and that should have been
brutal.
A game that was not. But it
brutal
was,
referee.
Wasn't it? What, was it not, John?
Yeah, I told you, bro. Like we tweeted the same thing, bro. Like we were rooting for separate teams, and we agreed. Fuck the refs. Get them away from this basketball game. I mean, even like it was weird. Like even with the Giannis, like with the reverse call. I don't know if that should have been a reverse, being that what they just called on Tatum on the other end right before that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just couldn't get anything right. They didn't know how to referee it, and it was obvious. And what was really bothering me were these fucking nerds, how excited they were about the fucking charge calls. Game 7, yay me. Bitch, if I know you exist in a Game 7, you fucked up. You know what I'm saying? The fact that I'm even talking about your Deltric-looking ass, I don't know what the fuck, bitch. Deltric-looking ass, you know what I'm saying? Flathead ass nigga. If I'm even talking about your weird ass, you know, shows you fucked up, man. But yeah, it was horrible on both sides. Everybody was tired.
But yeah, you know, I definitely feel you, Mike. It does feel like this was a series where ramifications of how they call these moving forward might be impacted. It definitely felt like they were trying to set some precedents here. Like, I feel like the one thing that they were firm on is they were going to call those late game charges regardless on Giannis, regardless of, you know, how late it was, how close the game was. Hey!
John's mom is here. Hi. No, put her on the microphone.
No. No.
Wow. We're going to have to tell stories about you. Unbelievable. Yeah. Mama Jethro Jenkins is here. No, we get no embarrassing stories about John.
None of that.
But yeah, you know, that's kind of like how I feel. I feel like they were probably kind of playing their flags in the soil on a few stances there. Like they were for sure good on they were whistling that shit anytime someone flopped while battling for position two. Like that happened a couple times and they whistled that shit. So yeah, maybe they are kind of planting their flag and how they're officiating the shit going forward. So we'll see.
I think to me, you know, we were all angry at the refs tonight, but I also think if you read what the rules are around block charges, it's not really the ref's fault. I mean, they need guidance in 2022 when you have 260-pound seven-footers playing at the perimeter at the speed of light. It's just, it is not the game that it was when it was big dudes banging down low and smaller guards. Like, they need more guidance around, because all of those charges on Giannis were legit. Is Marcus Smart selling the contact every time? Yes. But he is also, by rule, they all could have been charged. They could have tossed him out of every game in this series. In this
but also,
series,
are you going to call that every time with Giannis? Like, it's not his fault. You know,
but,
so
that,
I,
but that's
so
the
I,
problem.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yes, I, yeah, yeah that's yeah, the problem. I'm agreeing with you. You know what I mean? So
right. They've got to update the rule book to make it applicable to the sport that's being played in front of them. And I would hope, and I think we should all hope, in the way that the hand check rule completely changed the game of basketball, they need to take the incentive for selling flops out of the game. And I understand it's basically the only tool left for defenses with the way that guys play basketball now, but it's horrible. Someone's going to get super hurt doing it, trying to go under Giannis when he's running at full speed. It's a bad basketball play, and I hate it on an aesthetic level and a moral level. I just hate it.
Anti-charge.
Right. We're anti-charge. I would rather see zone defense than fucking dudes taking charges.
I mean, that Connaughton charge and the Grayson Allen shit, it's always, you know, I don't know, the weird ones. The weird ones that lean into that.
Celtics Heat, Tuesday, game one. What do you guys think about this? I really have no idea what to make about this series. John, you think that you said early on in Bucks Celtics, you thought that was the chip series. You think that the Celtics go through? Series.
I mean, and the thing is, they beat each other so much. I mean, they just didn't play seven games. People talk about going to war. This is the closest thing we've saw it on a basketball court in a long time. People were talking about this shit looked like 96. Them motherfuckers was beating each other's ass. There was one point where I thought Portis just wanted to fight. He said, fuck basketball. I just want to bang. You know, we down 12. I don't give a fuck. This motherfucker was flexed up with this motherfucking side profile. You know that's the fuck everything I'm trying to swing on somebody's face. You know,
Marcus Smart's dick got kicked into the sun. That's how hard they were playing in this fucking series.
I saw it live on television.
It was in the lunar eclipse.
Jeez. Is there anybody like tougher than Marcus Smart? I think he's tough to his, like, he's like a boxer that won't go down. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, nigga, y'all got to throw in the towel for him because he don't know when to quit. You know what I'm saying? Like, Marcus Smart anyway. But I feel like the Celtics are a better team. I think they're the best team left in the playoffs. You know what I mean? I think they're incredible on both ends of the court with their size and their skill at the guard level. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Spo is extremely smart. But I just, like, the Bucks had, I mean, my homie was hitting me up. He's a Heat fan. He was like, you know, hey, Tatum ain't gonna do that to us. I'm like, oh, he just did that shit with Giannis and fucking Drew Holiday. Who the fuck, you think Bam is as good as either of them on defense? Bam is great. Bam ain't none of them niggas. You feel me? Like, you know, like what? Like, I just, Butler's gonna do that and get 40 on the end because he's gonna need that 40. It's not gonna happen. So, I don't know, bro. I feel like the Celtics are much better. I would say Celtics in six. But if they come out and they got beat up too much in this series, that wouldn't surprise me as much either. But it's just as far as skill, Celtics and six.
Tyler?
I feel like the Celtics are the better team, but, you know, something that shit we were just discussing on this episode is that there were very bad spells of them executing last series, right? Like, they don't
execute. The Heat do that too, though.
Yeah.
They got some young players on their squad.
They do. I feel like the Celtics aren't executing at the level of a team that can win a championship just yet. And it's no knock on them. Like, I'm not saying they're behind schedule or anything. These are the lumps that, you know, you take on this road and shit. But, I mean, they're the better team. I think Spo's the better coach in this matchup. I think the Heat are a better coach team. And I think I'm just going with coaching and veterans here again. You know, I'm bound to be right sooner or later. So, you know, So I'm going with the Heat and seven on this one, man.
It'll be a good series.
I'm going with the Heat and five. Fuck the Celtics. Ooh, with all due respect to Jason Tatum.
I mean, it's not the Celtics. We rooting for St. Louis, man. Come on
I'm going to have to root for the... Hey, listen. The Cowboys signed one of my favorite human beings ever, football player from Long Beach, and I got to root for him when he's with the Cowboys. I understand the dilemma that you're in, but I'm not from St. Louis. I do love you. I like Jason Tatum, but I hate the city of Boston. I hate seeing their fans celebrate.
Nice. What about that boy Nice? It's the only thing left.
I'm over here with Luka, that boy Nice, and the Great White Hope.
You want the Heat Warriors? That might be a good series, actually. Heat Warriors might be a good series.
I actually think any combination of these four teams is a pretty great finals, to be honest with you.
I would say that as well.
Yeah. So I think we're in a great spot.
They all have their moments, though. And yeah. I just don't think that Warriors team is nowhere near, nowhere near the team they were. That team does not get beat by the fucking Memphis Grizzlies by that bad.
Yeah.
Klay looked great in game six, but he's not as, I don't know if he has it, how he used to be as consistent. Maybe that's this year, maybe that's forever. We'll see. But yeah, nobody, there's no clear winner. I think last year, I was more confident in the Suns than any team this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right. That is all the time we have because we do need to go see the blood moon lunar eclipse going on outside. Yeah. My son sent me 15 text messages about it while we've been recording this podcast.
So I wasn't the only one. I was over here. Bro, I really missed pod. We missed the eclipse.
John, I want you to look at me. I would never do that to you.
I would never
let us record a podcast during a solar event. I promise it would never happen.
I thought the moon could be a mile and a half from the planet at one point. You know what I mean? This is how much I love all this.
There's
weird
nothing
shit.
I can but do I to help you with that. As
but
we
I want the impossible yes. to be true. Somebody.
Vincent is sending me pictures with the text hashtag bloody moon. So I gotta go. John's gotta go. Sure. Tyler's
respect,
gotta go.
Respect,
but we'll be back in the middle of the week to talk about the first games of the finals, conference finals. And we'll see y'all then. Bye.
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 Love y'all. Y'all be cool.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Leesa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.